Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Jeremy's family. Not you, Jeremy. You're not. You're only going to be there.
Not me.
Yeah.
Nope. I was thinking Russiaville. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah, I go through Russia.
Actually, Melody tells me that that's called Russiaville.
It is pronounced Russiaville.
Which I did not believe for the longest time.
I saw
I thought she was just trying to trick me.
More like
called Melody a liar.
Doucheville. Are we starting? Have we started already?
I've been recording the whole time.
Me too. Are we already are we just doing the episode? Do we just introduce ourselves?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
That is not the order! That is not the order!
Hi, Gabe.
Hi, Jeremy. All right, Ben, take us away.
Welcome back to Reality with a Twist. I'm Ben.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Gabriel.
I'm Gunner.
I'm Dylan.
Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Dylan.
Hey. Hi.
Hi, Dylan.
Hi.
I want to say real quick, I'm proud of us. We didn't even discuss what order we were doing, but we all got it. We all did it correctly.
I was actually worried that I messed up the order because I wasn't sure if like I should go last or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. No,
but hey, we got it.
It was all correct.
Oh, sick!
Yeah, so that's we probably like the first time we've had to like.
Hi, Gunner.
Hi, Gunner.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Gunner.
Hi, Gunner.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, man. Jeremy.
We gotta. Man, our WAT listeners must love it. Every single time we start an episode and we go, hi, Gabe! Hi, Dylan!
It never gets old.
It probably gets old to them.
Yeah, we are the official podcast of reusing jokes over and over and over again.
Yeah.
We just do that naturally. Mm-hmm. It just translates in over into the podcast.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe
it's just
maybe
reality.
It's endearing.
With a twist.
Maybe. It's maybe true. With a twist. Maybe.
Roll that intro.
How's everybody doing today?
Not too bad.
Well, I was doing fine until you asked. I think we've also done that joke before as well.
Probably.
In all seriousness, though, I'm actually doing pretty good.
Good. Awesome. Good.
Thanks, Gunner. Yes. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
So I'm doing
no, you're in a red room.
Okay. I am in a red room. I like the red ambiance in my room because it reminds me of the red light districts.
I don't know. The red room is a
shine. No, I'm just teasing. I just like the color red.
Okay. What are the red light districts? I'm missing out on
oh,
some
no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we can't get into that one.
No. We'll tap on it.
Okay.
Don't worry, I'll text it to you.
Text it? Oh, okay.
I think it's a link, a Google Maps link.
Do you know what, Ben, do you know a certain stereotype about that city north of Vegas where a certain thing is legal that's not legal anywhere else in the United States?
No.
It rhymes with clostitution. That's what the red light district is.
Yeah, it's high density of that.
Yes.
Good thing I'm colorblind. Am I right, fellas?
Welcome to the green light district.
Yeah, he's like, Jeremy's supposed to like, all right, guys, is this the red light district? They're like, you're at the green light district. What are you doing?
Jeremy walking into the green light district with absolutely no clothes. Hey, guys!
Butt naked and like...
Well, like the green light district is like,
who's ready to party?
Watch like the green light district is just like every single thing is like illegal except for like random
thing. It's a very modest area
like
of the city.
Like an Amish community. I like your guys'
What's
costume.
Going on, everyone?
some guy goes, "Hey, why don't you cover it up with this?" and throws Jeremy a Bible.
Why would that be their first?
Hey, I don't know. It's an Amish community.
Typical Amish person. You better cover it up with this.
Hey, if you're
did
Amish,
I
come
not
below.
Like clothes or something. A rag. Wait,
bro, you did not just say if you're Amish, comment below. They can't comment below.
If you're Amish, did I tell you? Below. Oh my god!
If you ever been to Amish country, comment below.
Yes, there you go.
There we go.
Share this with your fellow Amish.
If you're a fellow Amish listener, send your picture in the comments below.
Clothes not required.
Don't worry, this is a green light district.
Yes, this is a green light district. Okay, what was that? Okay, what? Okay, okay.
Anyway, Ben,
we have not gotten into it yet. Yeah, so it's hard to move on from that. But today our topic is going to be about the court system.
Yay!
Let's go.
So I know it sounds very dry and boring, but I tried to find the best.
It's like the point of the show.
Yeah, that is the show.
That well, I was gonna turn that into where I was explaining.
Oh, we ruined the flow, Dylan.
I don't care.
Let's just pretend that part.
Okay,
didn't happen.
Okay. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the court system. I know. It sounds boring. It sounds dry.
Yeah, it does.
Who wants to learn about the courts?
I know.
But I think I found a way that we can make this fun and entertaining.
Just like the show!
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow.
So what I'm going to have us try to do is do a little bit of a mock trial that I've put together.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a storyline that I've put together. Each of you are going to be playing different roles
okay.
in the court. And we're going to go through a lot of the different stages and processes that the court goes through. But before we can begin, we have to talk a little bit about those roles. So for today's purposes, we're just going to be going with criminal court. There's all different kinds of courts. We're just going to be sticking to criminal court. We're going to start out by talking about the defendant. This is the person who is being charged with a crime, person who has had a complaint filed against them. Hi, Gunner.
Gunner's raising his hand.
No, I'm raising my hand.
Oh, yes, Gunner.
Would the defendant maybe be defending?
How did you figure that up on your own?
Are you in law school?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some might call him a genius.
Ain't you Gunner Harvard?
I had to read this whole thing to figure that out.
I'm literally getting a 4-year degree! Guys, what does defendant mean?
The Harvard law student be like, I went to Harvard to study law. Did you know that a defendant defends?
Damn it!
What? Come on, haven't you guys just seen that movie Suits?
I thought that was a show.
It is a show, isn't it?
Show, movie.
Have you seen it, Jeremy? Because that's
same thing. No, I haven't.
Okay. Clearly.
Have you seen the movie Better Call Saul?
I love that
I just know
movie.
That has to do with lawyers, so I brought it up.
Yes. I've not seen it.
I read the book Better Call Saul. I read the book.
I like the manga adaptation a lot.
Oh, that the graphic novel.
Yeah,
Better Call Saul graphic novel.
Oh, they're on gear 5 for Saul. All
right, moving on.
Anyways, I used the word charged. Somebody who's charged with a crime, and I want to clear a little something up. Because a lot of people get the word charged mixed up. Charged doesn't mean you're guilty or anything like that. Charge is just a fancy word for accused. Charge is basically just a legal complaint, typically by law enforcement, against the defendant, accusing them of a crime. So if you're charged with something, usually it's law enforcement is accusing you of, I'm just repeating myself, but of accusing or committing a crime. The defendant for this episode is Dylan. Dylan Whoa. Is going to be
Dylan!
The one wow. who is charged with the
wow.
crime.
Wow, what did I didn't do none. I
it looks like he would be charged of a crime.
What does that mean?
Charged with too many bitches.
I believe the fifth.
Okay, we're going to be getting into what Dylan is charged with in a little bit. Dylan, I am looking forward to this one, though.
Yeah.
So then every defendant has an attorney or lawyer to represent them. Attorney and lawyer are just interchangeable. They're the same thing. Sometimes, in rare cases, the defendant will be their own attorney and will represent themselves, but that doesn't happen too often. And this attorney, the defense attorney, is obviously the person who is representing the defendant.
Mm-hmm.
Their focus is just to make sure that it is a fair trial, make sure that their client is not self-incriminating with anything that they say or do. And Gabe, you are going to be Dylan's defense attorney for this episode.
My ass is going to jail.
Look at my lawyer, dog.
Look at my lawyer, dog. Look at his what he's wearing.
This is not Better Call Saul.
Oh my god.
This is Better Call Paul.
I wish I was calling Saul right now.
All right.
So, what's next? That's the defendant, and that's the defense attorney. Next up, we're going to be talking about the prosecutor. So the prosecutor is basically, if there's a defense attorney, the prosecutor is just the offense attorney, for lack of better words. The prosecutor's job is to prosecute the defendant, follow through on the charges, try to get them convicted.
Yeah.
I also had to read that book to learn that part too.
Chapter 357. You'd never believe it's that far into it, but there it is.
Yeah. It just said prosecutor. I hardly know her.
Man,
are we gonna have a pun after every single thing that I say?
Oh my god!
I'm sorry. I'm stopping.
No. It makes for an interesting episode.
He didn't say good.
Gunner, you're going to be the prosecutor of this case.
Hell nah.
You...
My ass is losing.
So you're going to be trying to get Dylan convicted of this crime that you're going to be charging him with.
Okay.
And then finally, one of the most powerful, probably the most powerful entity in the room is the jury. Not the judge. You'd expect me to say judge. But really, the judge's job is just to... maintain order in the court. That's also in the book.
Wow.
Also in that one episode of the sitcom where the judge goes, "Order in the court," and he slams his little mallet on his desk.
Yes.
No, that was the
it's
the
called
show,
the gavel.
Oh, the gavel, my fault.
Do you guys remember the gavel in high school?
Yes. Oh my god, didn't we? There was the gavel, and then there was the bear stick that we got taken away from us.
Yeah, the bear stick got banned.
What were we doing with the bear stick?
Nothing.
I was swinging it around, and Mr. Bear's head came off and walks in split second after the bear head fell on the floor and said, "Gunner, enough!" It takes Mr. Bear away from us.
How did we even get... Okay, for our listeners, the bear stick was literally just a whittled, like, wooden stick, like a walking stick that just had a bear head on top of it. That was all. And we just played with it all day. Nice,
dude.
And its name was Mr. Bear.
Honestly, my memory is so skewed because the reason I thought we got it taken away from us is because like we kept going up to each other being like, rawr, rawr.
or we'd go up to it and like I remember we'd all go up to it and we go, Mr. Bear, Mr. Bear, Mr. Bear.
Oh my gosh.
All the unbearable puns we did around him.
And then we had the gavel that was left at my work. Somebody left a gavel at my work. So I brought it to school, and whenever we had our radio meetings, the gavel always came out. Wham!
All right.
Amazing. All right, back on track.
Okay.
Poor Ben. Ben was the only
one. That's a
good
Tame Impala song.
Well, which one?
Back on Track.
Oh. That one's, I think, my favorite on that album. But anyway, this is Ben's episode, and we all just went on a tangent that
about
only
the
Ben...
Mr. Bears.
Hi, my name is Mira Patassin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Yeah, only Ben wasn't involved with that. I'm sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
Oh, don't mind me. Anyways, the jury is literally the one who, in a jury trial, decides whether the defendant is innocent or guilty. So personally, I would say that's probably the highest position of power when it comes down to a criminal case. Yeah. Jeremy, you will be the head juror of this jury. So basically, you're just representing the whole jury. Okay. So are you guys ready to get into this case and the details of what happened?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, Gunner.
Wait, who's the judge?
Ben.
Oh, I'm just gonna be the judge. I won't be doing a whole lot, but Gunner, I'm gonna send you something on Discord. I've been keeping track of the details of this case, but as prosecutor, it's your job to present what Dylan is being charged with, essentially.
Okay. So. Just give me just a minute.
So I'm reading this aloud, Ben.
Going to jail.
Yes.
Okay.
Dylan, you're going to jail.
Hey, no.
No, he's not.
Send this mofo to jail.
Dylan did nothing wrong. Dylan did nothing wrong.
I'm going to jail.
We've all come to the consensus. He's going to jail. All
right. You boys ready?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yep.
Dylan, you are being charged today with a hit and run, officially known as leaving the scene of an accident. According to the plaintiff, on March 20th, 2023, you were seen behind the wheel of a black Nissan Altima going over 60 miles per hour in a school zone when you rapidly came up behind a car stopped in your lane for a school bus. You slammed on your brakes, but it was too late, and you lightly rear-ended the stopped car. You then immediately reversed into oncoming traffic lane and went around the school bus and did not stop.
Yeah, that ain't real. That's not true.
Purely
fiction. Send this mofo to jail.
Purely fiction. Purely.
So based on the circumstances of this so-called crime, this could involve some misdemeanors or felonies. But for our circumstances, we're just going to consider them misdemeanors to make things more simple, as nobody was really hurt and the damage to the stopped car was minimal. So we're going to go ahead and start talking about the first step in this court case.
Okay.
So this is the initial appearance. Dylan, as of right now, you are in custody, meaning you've been arrested and you're in jail awaiting the initial appearance, which will begin now.
Don't answer any questions.
Gunner, good job, Gabe. You're playing the part well. Gunner, as prosecutor, you're going to be doing a couple things at the initial appearance. So as the judge, I set the bail amount for Mr. Wiley, but oftentimes I go by the prosecutor's recommendation. So what bail amount would you recommend for Mr. Wiley?
$1.
What should we set it at?
You like a price master?
$1.
Like
amount? $1.
The jury, I say $2.
$1.
All right.
I've been given the most power here. $2. The $2 bill.
No, Jeremy. No, no. That's double the amount that I want.
All right. We are setting bail at a price that he can't fathom. $10.99. Oh, it's over.
Dylan, look at me. Look at me. You're going to get out of this one. You're going to get out of this one.
That's the highest money number
was sales tax.
Oh!
7% in Indiana.
Okay.
All right. Bail is set at $10.99 as per the prosecutor's request. So next, as part of the initial hearing, initial appearance, we need to establish what Mr. Wiley is being charged with, and that's your job. So why don't you go ahead? What are one or two things that some crimes that Dylan committed as part of this case?
Okay, so Dylan is going 35 miles per hour over the speed limit, which is also in a school zone.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then Dylan went around a stopped school bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then
there's one other detail I can think of.
Well, he also left the scene
of
the accident.
Yeah. So I see they're not really liking this. But those are the charges. Yes. You're innocent until proven guilty, so don't worry. Now we're going to move on to the preliminary hearing. So our prosecutor, Gunner, will present his evidence to the judge to confirm that a crime has in fact been committed and there is enough evidence for probable cause. So probable cause is always been confusing to me. A way that I understand it best is instead of saying probable cause, I say reasonable cause. So like there's a reasonable cause for this trial to be happening and for him to be charged with these crimes. That's not the official term at all. I just think it makes more sense in my own head that way. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Gunner, I'm not going to have you go over the evidence right now. We're going to save that for the trial. Next, we will be moving on to the third step. You guys know that there are two different juries involved in a criminal case?
No, I did not know that.
Really?
Who?
So these terms get mixed up a lot. There's the grand jury and the trial jury. So this third step we're going into is the grand jury. The grand jury's job is just to decide whether or not Dylan is going to be indicted, which is different from charged. It's not too different. It's kind of the same thing, but Gunner, as the prosecutor, it's exactly a fancy word, yeah. Gunner presents his charges to the grand jury, and the grand jury says, okay, looks like he's got enough evidence for this. We're going to go ahead and indict him. It's basically just a thumbs up, a big stamp of approval for the case to go forward. So, Jeremy, you're the head juror of the trial jury, but you're still representing the juries here. So do you want to go ahead and indict Mr. Wiley or not?
Did we say we had, like, witnesses and whatnot? Because, like, we'll indict him.
Yeah, so the evidence, it's hard for you to answer this without there being any evidence presented yet. Typically there would be evidence presented, but just for our own fun purposes,
yeah,
we're saving it for the trial.
Yeah, convenient that there's no evidence.
Order. Right. Order.
You know what? Indict him!
What is your problem?
I don't like you.
I'm given the right to have another attorney appointed to me if I don't like this one, right?
No, I'm a jury.
Say that one more time. I'm going to make sure you go to jail for this shit.
I want a new attorney. What the fuck?
Imagine my lawyer going, keep that up. I'm sending you to jail.
He just starts making up some other crimes that you've committed.
He ran over a kitten on his way out.
The pirates.
That's a crime. That's just personal. Anyways. So, initially, Dylan was charged. Now he has gone through the grand jury and been indicted. So, that means we're moving towards a trial. The next step is the arraignment. So, believe it or not, everything that we just discussed, the initial appearance, the preliminary hearing, the grand jury, all of that is part of closed court, which means none of that is public. Okay. So by the time that you hear about certain things happening in a court case, all of that has already been done, and it's now at the arraignment, which is the first part of open court. So the arraignment is pretty short and sweet. It's just the prosecutor presenting the charges against the defendant in open court. So again, Gunnar, what are you charging him again with? It's speeding in a school zone, hit and run, and passing a stop school bus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the arraignment. It's basically just getting the trial started in the public eye. And then one of the next things that happens in these criminal court cases is plea bargaining, which I think we all kind of get the gist of what that is, but just to reiterate, it's when the defendant requests to immediately just plead guilty in return for a lessened sentence, so less jail time, a smaller fine, etc. So, Mr. Wiley, do you wish to enter a plea bargain at this time?
Well, you know, realistically, I probably would say the other option, but just for the sake of keeping content in today's episode, I know I'm not guilty, so no, I'm not accepting the plea bargain.
Okay, we're going to trial.
The first part of that statement was not on the record. Only the second part where he said no was on the record. just so you guys know.
Yes.
We're going to trial, baby!
Alright. So, typically, the trial will start with the prosecutor giving their side of the story, giving the evidence, the charges, all that stuff. So, Gunnar, I'm going to go ahead and send you another thing. I've been keeping track of these details. So this is your evidence. Don't go over it yet, because I also need to send Gabe and Dylan the evidence that they're going to be using.
Could you possibly send me mine on Messenger? Sorry. Just so the viewers don't have to see something random.
Yeah, that works.
Your Honor, my attorney is broke as hell.
So remember, don't share any of this stuff until we get this trial going. And then I'm sending Gabe yours. Can I just text it to you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, we got this in the bag.
Yeah, it's I'm confident.
All right. So, Mr. Johnson, as a prosecutor of this case, why don't you go over your side of this case? And make sure, I mean, you're wanting to convince head juror Jeremy over here. So,
okay.
Got to be convincing here.
Okay.
Oh, let me hear it.
I'm trying to figure gather my thoughts here. Okay.
Didn't you go to law school?
I never said I passed.
that's just the premise of the suits, I think. Anyways, go ahead, Prosecutor Johnson.
Sure, sure. Okay, so we have eyewitness testimonies from the victim of the car accident per se, okay? And then there are five civilians in the immediate area that also saw the incident. The bus driver and the 26 kids who put their hand on a Bible and swore to tell the truth said that they also saw Dylan. Now, how do we know it's Dylan? Well, there was dash cam footage that shows Dylan in his car, as well as the license plate that matches Dylan's car. There is also CCTV footage from the school's security cameras. And then we also know that it's Dylan's car that hit the back of the car that was stopped for the school bus, as there is matching paint. Yes, there's just matching paint.
you have me convinced. Send this mofo to jail.
Not so fast.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, I don't think. Please continue. I don't think he's done.
No, I'm done for now.
Oh, for now. Okay. So, we're gonna now move to the defense. Defense attorney Bickle, we're gonna have you come to the stand. I would highly recommend that at some point you bring in the defendant for him to speak on his own behalf as well. But yeah, just go ahead, present your case, and prove your defendant's innocence.
All right. Your Honor and jury, this is clearly a case of insurance fraud. So what? There were cameras. Dylan is a very prominent person in our area, and people don't like him. I love the guy. And it's not just because I'm his defense attorney. He's just a genuinely...
I personally don't.
I didn't ask your opinion, jury. He's a great guy. And if anything, that proves my point further. It was a witch hunt of insurance fraud from not only the car in front of him that clearly had to have brake checked him, but also from all of the kids and the five... witnesses on the side. Often insurance frauders come in groups in order to make a case seem more believable by having a witness testimony.
A group of kids.
Yeah, that is clearly what we're seeing now. Hey, if they get enough money out of it, offer a kid $5, they're going to do anything. They don't care.
You got me convinced.
It's clearly just insurance fraud, and also something I noticed that you guys have completely scuttered over is what time the police report was filed and what time this accident was said to have occurred, because in the state of Indiana, most school zones are only their speed limits only enforced during school hours with flashing lights, and we don't know. I don't think this happened during school hours. Clearly kids were on the bus, so there was nobody in the school at the time that this happened, so it couldn't have really been speeding in a school zone if the school zone speed limit was not being enforced. And as for the matching paint, you guys know how common black paint is on a Nissan Altima. And as for the license plate, again, clear insurance fraud. Clearly just swapping plates, or even editing the video, since they're all on the same team, editing the video to make it look like the plate is on his car. Black paint couldn't be more generic. How convenient for them to be like, hey, black paint matches. Duh. It's a Nissan Altima with black paint. There's zero real evidence here.
Does the prosecution have any comments to make in response to this?
Do I argue with him? Is that allowed?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So, if we're in front of a school and there's a school bus out and it's full of kids, I would imagine that means that school just got out, right? Do we have the time of the incident?
Yes.
What time?
It would be. It should be on the CCTV footage and the dash cams.
What's this? I'm reviewing the CCTV footage on the dash cams, and it says it's at 3:30. School got out at 3:15 per the principal.
So no students are on the premises. They're on a vehicle, a moving vehicle. They are not on the premises of the school.
That is not true. These are only the students that are going home on via school bus. There are still car riders, and there are still after school activities going on.
This was an elementary school, right?
Yes.
The fuck are the kids doing? They're picking their nose. They're going home. They don't care. They're going home. they're gone.
They're looking to claim some insurance.
They're not going to band practice. They don't have the money for instruments. They're going home. No students on the premises, and there's no evidence that there were any students on the premises.
Also, I just want to cut in here really quick. Dylan, if you at any point want to step in and yes. also speak, you're totally welcome. And also, Jeremy, if you ever have any questions or you want to bring anything up, you're also welcome to do that as well.
I will not be speaking until my defendant calls or my attorney calls me to the stand. Please and thank you.
Write that down. That's incriminating.
I don't want to look like a fucking idiot. What do you mean?
I call write Dylan down, to the down. Stand. Dylan.
Hi. Yes.
How's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Dabs him up. So riddle me this. Did you go to school?
I mean, I had to go to school.
A well-educated man, and not only a well-educated man, but a man with empathy. He empathized with the children at the school that weren't even in the school when this happened. Clearly, he wouldn't have the heart to ever actually speed in a school zone. And if a car brakes checks him for insurance fraud purposes, that's not on him. That he is a child appreciator, not a child lover. That's going too far.
Okay.
So, Dylan, I have some questions for you.
Yeah.
So, what were you doing at the school?
Motherfucker was driving.
I'm not at the school. What do you want from me there?
Okay.
Clearly, fine. trying to place Dylan in a place where
you're
wasn't.
If you're a child appreciator, and you don't have the heart to go 60 in a 25-mile-per-hour school speed limit zone, then why did 2 minutes before before the incident you there's a group messenger chat saying, so you're telling me you guys actually obey those stupid school zones speed limit signs, lol.
Now how
write that
was,
down
how,
we have a how, gasp from the jury
I'm sorry
we have an audible gasp from the jury
oh, yes,
write
yes.
that down on the transcript
yes. How was this phone evidence acquired?
Oh, there was a search warrant given for Dylan's phone.
Why would that ever be given for Dylan's phone in a speeding?
Are you questioning a court of law?
Yes.
It's a hit and run.
Yeah. Why does his phone have anything to do
Mr.
with that?
Mr. Bickle? I don't really like the attitude.
I know in my heart of hearts that Dylan is innocent, and I just get frustrated when I see people trying to do a witch hunt on him.
Who's the witch hunter, Gabe?
You, Mr. Johnson, and all of your little witch hunt friends, and those little freaking kids in the school.
Freaking kids.
I just called a whole bus of elementary school kids witch hunters.
I don't think I need to say anymore.
I get passionate when I know that my client is innocent. Dylan, you're free to get off of the stand.
Until I'm called back up, I will not be answering any other questions or making any other comments.
Wait, hang on. Can't we just ask him the question, like, did you hit that bus? Were you going 60 miles, like, when he's on the stand? Because he's like, he has to tell the truth.
He can't lie under oath.
Yeah, that would be a good strategy for the prosecution.
I called Dylan to the stand.
Nuh-uh.
Hey, Gabe, Dylan. Can you call Dylan to the stand, please?
Okay, Dylan, I call you to the stand.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Hopefully, this ain't going to go badly. Hopefully, this won't end badly in my favor.
All right, Dylan, we all make mistakes here and there. You know, things happen. Just last week, I left the refrigerator running, and I didn't catch it. And
why
know,
didn't you wait? Why didn't you run after it? Why didn't you run with it?
Like
why didn't you run
like
with it?
Order in the court.
So, Dylan, you know, hitting the back of a car, you know, and when it was stopped for a school bus that was trying to drop off some kids, you know, and going 60 miles in a school zone and passing a bus that stopped. With its stop sign out, and it's illegal, but, you know, Dylan, did you do all these things?
I mean, what exactly are you wanting from me here?
The answer, Dylan.
Dylan, you can get back off the stand.
I'm helping off the stand.
So, he has to answer the question. So here's something. He pleads a fifth. I can speak on behalf of him. I have power of attorney since I am his attorney. Anyway, here's something else. Just to further prove the insurance fraud, not only just is it a theory, it's the truth. Why is a school bus in a school zone dropping off children?
Because there are houses on the other side of the
school.
They
can just walk.
It's still illegal.
Mr. Pickle.
And dangerous.
Yeah, I feel like this is off topic, like.
No, but if like, the very who crux of the argument,
I want to talk to my attorney real quick. To my attorney.
The school speed lights, they're broken. The school speed lights are broken. They're broken.
Judge Ben.
Yes.
So with all this evidence and whatnot, would it be a better strategy for the defendant to just try and lower the charges?
Well, the defendant had that option with the plea bargaining stage, but for some reason just really wanted to go to trial with this.
He knows
because
he's
I'm not guilty.
He well, said it there.
I feel like it would have been better to do that in the jury's
typically I, as judge, don't get involved or ask many questions, but this is out of personal curiosity. So Dylan or Mr. Wiley, after this accident, after, you know, obviously the kids on the school bus were most likely screaming, there was a lot going on, why did you just drive away? What, you didn't stop?
Listen, you might be, I mean, obviously there is a lot of discussion here about who had done it, like who's done all
Dylan,
this.
Hey Dylan, yes, can I answer this one for you?
Okay, fine.
So, in every single insurance fraud case, the best thing to do is to drive away. Because if you stay at the scene, not only are you in danger of being frauded out of money, you are also in danger of being physically hurt, because the kind of people that do this are also the kind of people that get aggressive. It is actually recommended, if you're in an insurance fraud scenario, no matter what the circumstances, if you know it's insurance fraud, you are supposed to drive away from the scene to get yourself away from the perpetrators. It was insurance fraud. And do we even know? So in this scenario, a bus left the school, so there's no kids were on the school grounds. And then it immediately stopped in front of the school, in the school zone, to drop off children. And do we even know that all the equipment that the school bus was using, all the equipment on the road, all the equipment of the supposed victim's car was working? Were the brake lamps working? Were the school bus's lamps working? Even if you see something on a CCTV camera or a dash cam, easily could be reflections from the sun. This was taken during the day, after all. So I think that in itself is enough reasonable doubt to completely acquit Dylan of all charges.
I'd like to call the school bus mechanic to the stand who had inspected the school bus the morning of.
Ben, Did you actually tell him that?
No.
Okay, that is clearly just Gunnar Johnson. That is clearly Gunnar Johnson.
Ayo, ayo, it's me, school bus repairman. I inspected that school bus hardcore this morning. It's clean.
Okay. So
we can't. I never mess up.
Hey, Mr. Mechanic.
I never miss a thing.
What is your full name? What is your full name?
School bus mechanic.
That is not your full. That is not your full name. And even if it were, you look genetically identical to Gunnar Johnson, who has conveniently left the room. My
name's
objection,
School Bus.
Objection.
School Bus John Mechanic.
My attorney. Judge.
Which
your
actually.
Phone. Attorney,
this actually brings up a really good question. Have we ever seen Gunner and an actual school bus mechanic in the same room ever in our lives?
Yeah, what are you talking about? I'm right here.
Wait, Gunner!
What the
No, they're not in the same room. Hey, Dylan, what do you want to talk to me about?
Check your phone.
Okay. Clearly, this school bus mechanic is just... The prosecution in a disguise. Objection, Your Honor. Yeah, I don't think this fair. This can't be sustained. This is clearly Gunnar Johnson in a disguise. And this just further proves my point that this is just a witch hunt. And go ahead, Your Honor.
Yeah, this is all just hearsay. I mean, we don't have any kind of proof that,
Hey, Mr. Mechanic, can you take your hat off for me?
Are you asking somebody in my courtroom to remove their clothing? That's
to remove an article of clothing.
Overruled. This is getting
this
out
is
of
a
hand.
This goes deeper.
It's a slippery slope,
thought.
Gabe. It's a slippery slope. You ask them to take off a hat. They strip down to their undies.
I want to call Damien to the stand.
The crap is Damien.
How's it going, everyone? It's me, Damien.
All right, Mr. Damien, where were you on the day of the supposed accident?
So here's the deal, right? You know, Dylan's been confused about this the whole time. I stole the car! I did it! I took his phone, and I sent the message on his account!
And you do look almost identical to Dylan.
You can
Wiley.
See where the issues come into play.
But
I'm the guilty one. The guilt built up in me, and I had to say something.
This actually proves another point. Have we ever seen Dylan? Like, have we ever seen Dylan and someone named Damien in the same room ever in our lives? Like this is like out of the jury.
I'm right here.
Have we ever seen Dylan and Damien? Like in the same room, like during
right
our friendship,
here.
They don't want people to be confused. They look very similar.
We have a new. Excuse me, sir. Who are you?
I am Damien's friend.
Damien, do you know this man?
Jamian, explain why you're here, and then I might answer that question.
I came to support you, man. I love you.
I love Jamian. He's my beau. He's my bro for life.
Jamian, what do
you
all right,
Jamian.
I was actually in the car with Damien, and the rumors are true. Damien and Dylan are the same person.
No, they're not. No. Objection.
Sorry, my mustache falls off sometimes.
Your Honor, Your Honor, he's doubting the identity of my client when they're clearly two different people. That is not even relevant to the case.
Judge okay. Ben, I think the jury has come to a decision.
Damien,
yeah.
Can I get a quick high 10 real quick?
Oh yeah. Hold up, I need to go
I'll
check.
I'll do it.
Oh yeah. Here we go. Quick high 10.
Nah,
here you go.
It ain't the same.
Damien, you know all I right, broke all my right. hand.
All right. Order in the court. So,
do I have to do closing arguments?
Yes, I was just about to ask.
Let me go get Dylan real quick.
For the prosecutor, please give a very, very brief closing argument, and then we'll do the same for defense, and then we're going to move on to the jury deliberation.
Okay. There is no sufficient evidence to prove that this is a witch hunt. It is clear that Dylan had hit a car ran from the scene of the accident, in the process was going 60 miles per hour, and had passed the school bus as it was stopped. We have several CCTV footage that shows, and several witnesses that prove as well. It's
not... ain't me, though.
Okay, now for the defense.
Okay, so you say that there's not sufficient evidence for this being a witch hunt. There's not sufficient evidence that it's not a witch hunt, and there's also not sufficient evidence that this happened in the first place. That is corroborated by the fact that you clearly put a hat on and pretended to be a bus mechanic, which is a very convenient role for you to play. And also, we have to prove that this is beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt. And with the antics that have gone on in this courtroom today, there is absolutely reasonable doubt that this even occurred in the first place. It was insurance fraud, and it went so far as to even the prosecution being involved with the insurance fraud.
Okay. Now, Jeremy, as head juror, why don't you just give us a rundown of how you interpreted the evidence and the testimonies, and just kind of give us your thought process behind everything, and let us know, is Mr. Dylan Wiley innocent or guilty?
Okay, so based on like all of the evidence, for these things it's pretty hard to like prove if it's like insurance fraud and like what the intentions were on like all parties, but like just according to the evidence, like it would have been better for Dylan to just like try to lower the charges, because how much money is all this going to be, like rough estimate, because he probably wouldn't be going to jail, just like probably a lot of community service and a big fine, right? Or
I mean, the fact that we were considering these as misdemeanors just because nobody was hurt and there wasn't very much damage, we were going to let him off pretty light. They were kind of shooting for... It wouldn't have been anything serious, like you're saying. So
okay. Then guilty on all charges. That's what...
It wasn't me, though! Wow. It was Damien! It was Damien the whole time!
So...
All right.
Okay, it's
I want to sue this fucking attorney. He's terrible at his goddamn job. He wouldn't let me speak for one goddamn second. I want to pray. This is fraudulent behavior. This is fraud. This is fraud. This is fraud. I don't care anymore.
Well, actually, Mr. Wiley, you brought up a great point. If you don't like the outcome of your trial, then you can always appeal to a higher court.
I'm appealing to a higher court. Appealing to a higher court.
Okay.
Freaking Indiana court simulator. That's what this was. Oh my god. least chaotic court.
You just have to pay $10.99 plus sales tax.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part.
I still can't afford that. What are you talking?
In 4 weeks of community service.
So Dylan has been convicted on all charges and is sentenced to 4 weeks of community service.
And $10.99 plus sales tax.
$10.99.
This fucking bullshit. Bullshit.
So yeah, that was pretty much it. We went through pretty much the whole court process. I mean, there was a lot of stuff left out. And then also one thing I wanted to hit on is there's a big reason why the court process is so slow. It usually takes months and months for all the pretrial stuff to happen. Just because, like, you know, think about it. How many people are in jail awaiting trial? How many people are getting charged with crimes every day? And everything that we just went through, all of those steps have to take place for every single defendant. And there are so many people involved in every step, so much paperwork, so many formalities, so many scheduled appearances. So like, you got to understand why the courts seem a little slow. They're definitely very overworked. The amount of staff and man hours and work that goes into all of it is mind-boggling. But we made it through on our own little reality with the twist court segment. Dylan is guilty. Everybody is happy except for Dylan and Gabe.
Can I, now that the trial's over, can I show the viewers this text that you sent me?
About yeah, you can the, show and read
about
so
the evidence.
So Spotify.
So let me crop this real quick. Just a sec. All right, just a sec, fellas. Sorry.
By the way, all of the evidence that Gunnar went over was evidence that was documented for this case.
I'll put this up on screen too, but this is what Ben said to me. You have no evidence. He did it, but you still have to try your hardest to defend him. I had nothing. I had nothing.
I was given the same info.
You did
too.
Very well, actually.
Why? Thank you.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
All right, good work, everybody. I had a lot of fun with that.
Yes.
We're probably going to have to try to speed through the last segment.
Oh,
we've been going for like 50 minutes now.
Okay.
I don't have a legal fact.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to jump right into weird news.
Yeah, please do.
So where's the worst place to find a snake, fellas? If you had to guess, where's the worst?
The bathtub.
Bathtub.
My boot.
The shower, like from the shower head, just like snakes coming out of there.
Oh, that's like horror movie. But one of you guys were right. Let's get into the story. As always, this comes straight from the Associated Press. In Tucson, Arizona, like a scene out of a horror movie, Michelle Lesprin, I believe, returned to her Tucson, Arizona home to find a snake had come set up camp in her toilet. I had been gone for 4 days, and I was looking forward to using my own restroom in peace. I lifted up the lid, and he or she was curled up. Lesprin told the Associated Press, thank God the lid was closed. The hysterical encounter, very funny, Associated Press, they wrote hysterical. Encounter happened July 15th, but Lesprin has been getting messages from family, friends, and even people she went to high school with since Rattlesnake Solutions, a Phoenix-based company that removed the snake, recently posted an employee's video. The 20-second video shows the snake being pulled out of the toilet bowl and hissing straight at the camera. Everybody has the same reaction. Oh my God, that's my worst nightmare, she said. People thought it was a prank or a prop, but it was very, very, very real. Her father tried to wrangle the snake that same night, but it slithered away. So she called Rattlesnake Solutions the next morning. What do you fellas say?
Oh, it was a rattler.
Yeah, it was not a rattlesnake. That's just the company name, Rattlesnake Solutions. Let me see if I can find the breed of the snake.
Because if it was like a little garter snake.
The species is non-venomous.
Yeah.
So, what would you guys do if you found a snake in your toilet?
I mean, I'd probably freak out.
I'd cry.
So.
Yeah, I'd be like, "Oh, geez," drop the toilet lid, and then go call some other people to hype me up to get it out of the toilet.
Oh, okay.
Same.
Oh yeah, Ben. Same. You call some people to hype you to get it out. Okay. I would not.
Get it, Jeremy, get it!
Okay, guys, I can do it!
Ow! Face starts puffing.
But yeah, that's our weird news today. Just check your toilets, man. That's always like an urban legend that snakes hide out in toilets. I think that's only really a hot climate thing. I don't think we really have to worry about that in Indiana. But just, it never hurts to check the bowl you're about to use. Our weird news for today, fellas.
Thank you.
Good point.
Thank you.
How about a good old pharmacy drug fact?
Okay, so today we are talking about a little drug called cyclobenzaprine or Flexeril. Now, I don't think any of you boys would recognize that because I don't think any of you guys have muscle spasms or need a muscle relaxer. So, cyclobenzaprine is a muscle relaxant that is structurally related to tricyclic antidepressants. Pretty interesting. And then, all it does is relieve skeletal muscle spasms of local origin without interfering with muscle function. And then, so you got stiff muscles or you got muscle spasms, cyclobenzaprine might be an option for you. So, but certainly check with your doctor. Don't take my advice. So, and then, it also comes, it's very much needed prescription, and there are known risks with pregnancies, and interactions can occur with alcohol.
Fair.
Now, you say there are known risks?
Yeah.
I have a question about that.
Sure.
So with muscle spasms, would, like, is this for like really bad muscle spasms? Because usually muscle spasms happen because of a lack of magnesium in the body. Would magnesium supplements kind of also replace that?
So I would say yes and no. You'd usually, so for any drug you take, you can't just solely rely on a drug to fully fix everything. There usually has to be some act, like some, you know, action in conjunction with taking the drug. I.e., say you have high blood pressure, and let's say like doing things like cardio to like lower blood pressure might be the, you know, way to go. Or you know, even with like our talk on like you know, depression and anxiety, seeking therapy, right, to reduce stress, or we're living in low stress environments. So muscle spasms can happen for numerous reasons, whether it's things like neuropathy, which can occur from like diabetes, or even things like workplace incidents where nerves are directly damaged. Or it can, yes, be the lack of magnesium. It could even be genetic disorders where muscles do not properly pull, or let's say muscles can't properly build, or don't retain their strength. So it tends to cause things like rigidity as well. So but I can look more into that, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, I was just curious.
But things like, especially like working out and stuff where you're burning through ions and what's the word,
like sodium, potassium,
electrolytes, you'll burn through those quite a bit because you'll be excreting them quite a bit. So then you'll start noticing that you'll have deficiencies in those if you are not careful.
Well, interesting. Thank you very much. I think we learned a lot of stuff with that one.
Heck yeah.
How about some good old gym rat slander? Do we have any of that today?
Oh yes, we do. It kind of goes a little bit along with that. And this is, you guys are probably not getting enough sodium. And because, yeah, this goes along with like hydration and whatnot. So eating too much sodium, especially if you're like not working out, not sweating off electrolytes, that's bad for you. But if you're working out and not eating enough sodium, then that's equally even worse because you're dehydrated. If you have headaches, a really good way to get rid of that is to drink salt water. And not just like any salt water. I recommend pink Himalayan salt or just something like that. Put it in your put a little bit in your water and then drink it. It's really good. Liquid IVs, not sponsored, but those are really good. Gatorades and other sports drinks like Body Armor and stuff like that, super under formulated, so there's not usually enough electrolytes in there to replace what you've lost. Because if you're just drinking straight water and not replacing electrolytes, then that's when you could get water poisoning. So you need to definitely balance it out. So eat your sodium after you work out, and you'll be like rehydrated, actually.
Yeah, I know when I just drink a bunch of water, I just pee more, and I don't even feel any more hydrated half the time. So,
yeah, and that's the interesting thing. Like, when you have like clear pee and whatnot after drinking a bunch of water, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're like actually hydrated. Mm-hmm. It just means that you're drinking enough water and peeing it all out because there's like an excess in your body. But, But yeah, make sure you get your sodium and potassium in your body.
Eat those nanners.
Exactly.
Unless your name's Gabe and you can't handle a little bit of green on the nanners.
can we jump into that for a second?
Sure.
We have to now.
These guys, okay. A ripe banana is one that has no green and some black spots on it. That is what I have always gone by, because those are always sweet. Those are always the sweetest bananas. Those are the best. They taste good, and they're just great in general. These guys were trying to convince me that a fully green stem on this banana...
No.
Yes. No.
It was not fully green.
It was a full... No, you guys are trying to change the story now. It was a fully green stem. And it was even...
Can we bring Prosecutor Johnson?
Johnson, come in here.
It was bleeding slightly into the actual banana. And when Dylan tried to take... I don't know if it was Dylan or Ben. It went... when he tried to take it off the thing. Not ripe. And they were trying to convince me that it was perfectly ripe.
Here's the deal with me. It's not the fact... Because, you know what? Fair enough. You might have thought it was a little bit under. You know? I typically don't, like, throw up my hands about these things. You literally, like, were so overdramatic, and, like, that little tiny bit, you're like, I can't do that. I can't. It's not ripe enough.
If there's another option, and it takes very minimal effort to just put them on a stove for a second to let the sugars, you know, come out a little bit more, I'm going to do it. It's not that much effort.
Here's the thing, too. You were acting like the bananas were going to be perfect, like, the day after we bought them.
I was like, yeah, usually if they're a little bit green and you buy them, then they, like, within a day or two, they're not nearly as green. And
what banana is brown within a day?
Not brown, just not green.
I personally like green bananas, so I get them.
No.
I get them, like, super not ripe.
And then
over time, they start ripening up. Like, first day, it's, like, really chalky. I bite into it. I'm like, biting into a plantain, you know? But then by day 7, by the end of the bunch, it's got, like, spots on it. It's like, okay, this is a little mushy now.
Range.
Here's the thing, too. It's like, because, Gabe, I agree with you. I agree with you that, like, the ones with, like, little brown spots in them and, like, fully yellow, those are the best. But the fact that you made such a big ordeal...
Because you guys were trying to convince me that they were fully ripe. They were perfectly ripe.
Because we wanted you to eat a plantain, okay?
So it came from a bad place. You guys were gaslighting me.
Yes. Yes, this is correct, Gabe. So, Gabe's only, telling half the story. So, we had made peanut butter, Nutella banana pancakes, okay? And we had also got a plantain and cut it up. And then Gabe... And then we're like, oh, let's try a Nutella-covered banana or something, right? And then we did the plantain, gave it to Gabe, and he's like, this ain't good.
Because it literally crushed.
We got Gabe so good.
Yeah, we actually talked about that on episode 3, the one I just edited today.
Oh, my bad.
We were drunk, so we didn't remember. but yeah, okay, we're going on way too long.
Yeah, we are.
Banana talk.
All right, Dylan, what's our Roblox game of the week?
Roblox game of the week. We love to talk about it and going on.
Mimic.
No. You know what? Hold. You know, since Jeremy wants to recommend stuff, it's his bit now. It's his segment.
We're on Natty Wonders all of a sudden, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Go on. Talk about it. No. This game I will recommend, though, is called Please Buy Me. Please Buy Me is a newer version of what Please Donate is, but with a more unique twist of it. Pretty much, you get to create trading cards of yourself that you can distinguish with having its own rarity, and then have people buy those trading cards in the game and keep them. It's a whole little economy set up by only your own selves.
Okay.
So, if you're interested in that... Yeah?
You're telling me I could make... a Fred Eggs trading card and only make one, right? So it would be legendary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then sell it.
Yeah, I mean, if you hype it up enough and say this is like a really rare card, you guys have to buy it, you can create a card in the ecosystem that is legendary status. Wow. Of yourself.
Wow.
If that interests you, I recommend go checking out Please Buy Me today on Roblox.com.
I'm going to inflate the entire economy.
with Zamboni 12s.
just a common.
Yes. Dun, dun, one Robux. Actually, dude, can you make Robux off of these?
Yes.
Whoa. Wow. My God.
That's what. Yes.
It's crazy. I want to try that.
I'm inflating the rubric.
We don't have a local artist today, right?
No, but we do have a bad marketing.
Okay.
This is our third, or this is a new segment, Jeremy. It's called Bad Marketing. This is our third or fourth ever one. Today we're talking about a cell phone that a lot of our listeners might remember. It came out in around 2014. The Amazon Fire Phone. Do you guys remember the Amazon Fire Phone?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't.
Yeah, you guys can look it up. It was crazy. And we'll get into it. The phone came out in 2014 and it was Amazon's first attempt at a smartphone. As far as I know, it was their only attempt at a smartphone. They actually packed some pretty cool technology into this phone, like an array of cameras on the front of the phone that could accurately track the user's face, like depth-wise and everything. It also had a feature called Firefly, which was able to scan anything the phone's camera was pointed at and recognize what the object was. Google does something very similar nowadays, but this is all the way back in 2014. Unfortunately, that's about where the cool features end. One of, if not the only thing the array of four cameras could do was like a depth simulation on the phone's home screen. So basically, it just made the background of the phone move around as you moved your head or moved the phone. Like, it just made it look like it was a 3D thing. That's all it was really used for. So four cameras for that, not worth it. And also the Firefly thing where it could scan things. Sure, it could recognize items, and that was really cool for the time. But then the only thing it could really do is try to find that item on Amazon. So you'd scan an item and then just be like, hey, you can buy this on Amazon. not to mention the phone had the previous year's specs, including an outdated Snapdragon 800 processor, and only had a maximum of, I believe, 64 gigs of storage. They wanted $650 at launch. And for 2014, that was insane money. That was so ridiculous for a smartphone. They wanted so much money for this thing. But only $200 on contract. Discontinued just over a year later. This phone reportedly sold at most 35,000 units in its first 20 days. And even more upsettingly for Amazon, the company swallowed a $170 million loss due to the phone's failure, according to TechCrunch. The reason that this is a bad marketing segment and not just a bad product is because the product was kind of impressive. Like, they actually put some really cool technology into it, and if they put their mind somewhere else and they use that technology for something other than just a little depth thing and finding you Amazon products, it could have been like a really cool phone. It was made well, and not only did they just put their minds in a completely random place, they also charged $650 for it. It's just they didn't market it well. They didn't know what their consumers wanted. Who cares about a background that kind of does this if it uses four cameras? I don't know. It's just, that was a big fluke. As far as I know, they haven't tried to make a phone since.
I wonder if part of the reason that they thought that they could be successful by just doing what they did was, oh, we're Amazon.
Yeah.
People are going to want this.
Yeah. And not to mention, I'm glad you brought that up. It ran Amazon's Fire OS, which a thing about Fire OS is it's based on Android, which is great. Android's great. But it's a skin, and on that specific skin, you couldn't download native Google apps. So you couldn't download YouTube. You'd have to use web YouTube. You couldn't download Gmail. That alone is a deal breaker for a phone for me. That's why Microsoft Windows Phone failed, essentially, is because they didn't have access to Google's apps. So it was doomed. I think Jeff Bezos actually had a big hand in this phone's development. He had a lot of ideas for it, and he just dropped the ball on that one.
Womp womp.
Did you just womp womp to a $170 million loss?
No, I agree.
Well,
that, that was... What? Yeah. What?
I was going to do a cool thing where I was like, well, that was some bad marketing, but then you decided to...
Fine, I never said anything.
And okay. Ruin it.
Okay, let's... Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. Say it. Say it.
Go on.
Leave alone.
We don't have a local artist, and due to lack of time, I'm going to not do a philosophical question today.
Fair.
So that leaves us with only one thing left.
Yes. Philosophical questions? Man, I haven't been here for a lot.
Yeah, we have a few new segments. I think those are the only two.
Yeah,
that's it. Maybe I'm adding burger review next time.
Yeah, honestly, though.
we're actually going to be doing check the size bit, where we check the sizes of each of our own little individual themes. This episode is nipple spread.
Jeremy, you go first. Okay, what are the odds?
You can find that on the Natty Wonders Instagram.
The Amish aren't going to like this episode.
fellas, we're not going to be able to step into the green light district for a while.
We ain't stepping anywhere near there.
Oh my gosh.
We are going to separate into what are the odds, though.
Yes, what are the odds? It's a combination of a dare and a bet. There's an odds asker and a victim. The odds asker dares the victim to do a dare. The victim says they're unlikely to having to do it by setting a number. The higher the number, the less likely they'll have to do it. And then a third party counts down from 3, 3, 2, 1, and the odds asker and the victim say a number between 1 and the number the victim set at the same time. If they say the same number, then the victim has to do the dare. If none of our individual dares hit, we will do a descending odds, which essentially just means one of us will have to do an odds, which we will elect at the end. But that's only if none of our individual odds hit. Are we ready, gentlemen?
I'm ready, yes.
Oh, yes.
I've got one to start out, if you guys are
go ahead.
Cool with that. Dylan.
Oh, boy, yep.
What are the odds that you go on Please Buy Me and you sell, let's say, I don't know, 5 Mario Dylan cards?
That's it. Oh, man.
That's it.
I will say I haven't done enough research on the game to see like how much effort it would take to make a five Mario Dylan cards, so I'll just go ahead and say 10 just for the sake of it, because I don't know. I didn't do enough research on that aspect.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
7, 1. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll go next. Trying to decide who. Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What are the odds you record a story on your Instagram right now saying you're thinking of going on America's Got Talent because you have an amazing singing voice? And then say you're going to give your viewers a little sample and then just go, like, just scream sing. Just, and then at the end say, please tell me if you think I'm good enough. Please DM me and tell me if you think I'm good enough.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he's got to set it up like the guitar ones that I did or whatever, where I'm like, hey, guys, check out the next slot. Check out the next post. And you can see.
I'll go with 12 on that.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. 10. 2.
Oh, redo it.
Oh, yeah, it added up. We're doing Toronto rules, I believe. I don't know when that changed, but we are doing
Toronto rules. You really haven't been around for a bit. Yeah. We do Toronto rules.
Is this like all season 3 Toronto rules?
No.
We've actually done it since like halfway through season 2 we've started. We just randomly one day started going by Toronto rules. I don't know why.
What?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do this anymore.
Funny that we refer to them as Toronto rules.
It's still 12. It's still 12. Don't worry.
All right,
okay, fine.
3, 2, 1.
3.
3. You're kidding me, dude.
That's the first time we've ever hit on Toronto rules, I think. Hey guys, I'm going on America's Got Talent.
Jeremy, you kidding?
Jeremy, this could be on whatever account you want it to be on.
And if people are asleep in your house right now, you can do it like tomorrow morning.
You don't have to do this tonight.
But it has to happen.
Guys, he's still recovering.
Oh yeah, he's ain't processing this.
Oh my god.
Bro's he's never coming back.
This is man falling asleep.
Yeah, he's going to sleep.
Oh my gosh.
Jeremy, get that motivation.
For our listeners.
Yeah, for listeners, Jeremy's currently belly flopped into his bed and is lying motionless.
So
he doesn't have his earbuds in, so he can't hear us either.
He just.
Right, he's coming back.
Hold on, let's wait for him to get his earbuds back in. Alright. Hey, bud.
Hi, Jeremy.
How you feeling?
I have one.
Oh, okay. God. Okay.
I'd like to give this one to Dylan.
Oh, okay.
Good old friend Dylan.
Yeah.
Where are the odds at for the next episode? I give you a scoop of pre-workout and you have to drink it before the episode starts.
That's a good one.
That is a really good one. How heavy on the caffeine are pre-workouts?
You get to find that out afterwards.
Bro, all you have to do
because
is
it's not that bad. It's not that.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's not that bad.
I don't want to like have my heart stop in the middle of the episode.
Jeremy, what pre-workout are you currently drinking?
Bucked Up.
Is it because I remember from your podcast they like have a discount for missionaries or something? Is that Bucked Up?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I'll introduce Jeremy to another rule that we implemented. What 2.
Oh, okay.
Jeremy, do you know about 2? Were you?
I do know about 2.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. 2.
1.
Jeremy has to do it.
Oh.
I mean, he Jeremy typically does pre-work at like
odds.
Wait, I have to do it now?
Yeah, because I did.
That's
it,
the 2
yeah.
rule.
Okay, can I go ahead and ask mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so Ben, I asked you this earlier, but I'm just going to go ahead and ask you it again now. So Ben lost odds last episode where he has to have a poster of Dylan's dad for like the next 3 months. Yes. So what are the odds
in my living space?
In your living space, right. What are the odds that you try to get that signed by his dad?
Oh my god.
So do you mean I have to do it?
Yes.
It can't be Dylan.
No,
I have to, like,
you have to do it.
So I'd have to drive to his place of work, probably, or his home and say, can I get
I'd help with the escalation of the signing, but like, you know,
would he genuinely be freaked out?
I mean, if I actually, good point. I don't know. He liked the please don't drive naked T-shirt, so maybe not.
But the picture that Gunnar chose, I'm not
yeah,
going to show it on
is
here
because like
I don't want to.
Yes, don't want.
Where'd you get
dump.
That from anyway? And like, Gabe. Or just his Facebook?
Facebook, yeah.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. So to get the picture of Dylan's dad signed by him, I'm gonna say 15 again. I wanna say 2 because then you would still have to do it and then just deliver it to me or get it to me or however.
But that's so risky.
It is so risky because I'm not that far away from Dylan's house, but.
No.
What number are you going with? 15?
2.
Oh my gosh.
That's dang.
Jeremy, would you like to count him down?
Oh man, I'm not
sure. 10. 9.
Well, how are you in anticipation?
3.
We get the Natty Wonders countdown.
3, 2, 1. 1. 1.
Ah. All right, I'll be getting that poster and heading.
Ben has to do it because it hit.
Oh yeah, sorry. For some reason, I thought I was the one being asked.
Nope. Wait, so, okay, I leave for school in 8 days. You have to
you
get
have
that
to
poster
it.
To me.
Like, I better order it soon. Like, now. You have to order it, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to drive from
West
an
Lafayette
hour and 15 minutes away.
To West Can Lafayette, to back to Indy, to go, please sign my poster, please. Please, do this
for I'm me. Your biggest fan. Oh my god.
I think I'm gonna change the picture, Ben, just for your sake. Yeah, for my sake too, because I want to be able to I want my dad to have a good like mindset of you guys, and it'd be weird if he had like his worst picture ever just like on a poster.
I'm gonna change the picture then.
Okay.
Well,
do we have any more odds?
I do. I have one of my own odds. Gabe.
Okay.
Yes.
You're a big. You like to do the reviews and whatnot and all that good stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What are the odds that you have to go out to the store, buy a Roblox toy or Roblox toys, whatever of your choice, and do a Disney toy review, like impression, and video yourself opening and unboxing it? I have to direct it, and then we have to upload it to the RWAT YouTube channel.
Oh my gosh, this is reminding me, we never even did our
we need to still do that 15-minute yes. gameplay video one.
Yes. I'll say 15.
Okay.
All right. Someone count us down. 3, 2, 1.
15.
12. Well,
we had three odds.
Three out of the five odds.
That's unprecedented. And poor Jeremy didn't know about the freaking Toronto rule.
Like, you guys are just making up stuff at this point.
No. Yeah, we also have the Detroit rules where...
Yeah, we also have the Jeremy rule where Jeremy has to do every odds that anybody asks.
No, the Toronto rules.
It was like the fattest nuh-uh.
The Toronto rules and the two rules are the only ones that we've done at all.
If some eagle-eyed listeners can try to maybe put in the comment what episode we started doing the Toronto rules consistently...
give you
that
a
would
shout
be
out.
Very helpful. I think it was like halfway through last season, I want
to
say.
You know, because I thought it would only apply to, I don't know, Toronto.
And it used
personally,
to.
I'm looking around. I don't see any Toronto around here. Where's the Toronto at?
Toronto, Indiana. That's where you are, Jeremy.
No.
Just some shameless self-promotion real quick. We're still doing the shout-out thing. We haven't really announced it on Instagram, so I don't really think too many people know about it. For $20, we're doing a 30-second ad. We're not really doing it for any money, but any money that we do get from it, we'll just go right back into the podcast. Literally, it's permanent. It stays on the episode forever, and you can say whatever you want within reason. If you have an idea for an episode or an idea of who we can interview on an episode, please email us at realitywithatwistpodcast@gmail.com. And also please follow us on at rwatpod on Instagram, and check out our website at rwatpod.com.
Absolutely. Jeremy is going to be the next host of Reality with a Twist episode 6. Do you happen to have any teasers for us?
Nope.
Well,
fair.
Okay. Man of few words.
Yes.
I like it. All right. Thank you so much for tuning into Reality to Twist. I had a lot of fun on this episode.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm Ben.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Jeremy.
We were doing so well.
I panicked.
Guilty on all charges.
Order in the court. Yeah. From the top. Thank you for listening. Yes. Thank you for listening to Reality with a Twist. I'm Ben.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Gabriel.
I'm Gunner.
And I'm Dylan.
And we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye.